Welcome to another episode of the Family Futures podcast series, Pondering Pods. If you have a topic you'd like to know more about, you can email us with your suggestion at contact@familyfutures.co.uk. Hi, welcome to another episode of the Family Futures podcast. This episode of Pondering Pods, we are talking about the difference between RAAs and VAAs, or RAAs and VAAs, as they're sort of known colloquially in our office, and I'm sure quite a few other offices. In our previous podcast, we've kind of touched on the language and sort of shorthand that social workers in a lot of teams use, and often the general public or people looking into adoption or anything in that kind of realm are, you know, unaware of what we're talking about. So Jeff and Phil from the permanency team have joined me today, and they're just going to explain and break down a little bit about the difference between regions and voluntary agencies. So Jeff and Phil, tell us all about it.
I feel meant to speak about some of the similarities first. Having previously worked for a RA, a region, and now looking at work here at Family Futures, a voluntary adoption agency. And I guess the simple truth is that the one thing that is the same is that the focus of both types of organisations is adoption, is finding, assessing, getting approved quality prospective adoptive parents who are fully prepared and ready to take on the care of a child who has lived through early trauma, almost certainly lived through early traumatic experiences by virtue of having had to enter care. And making sure there is a suitable matching process, and making sure that the right prospective adopters are looking at the right children for them to be able to take on their care as a forever family. And that is true with both types of agency.
And previous to there being regions, there's always been voluntary agencies.
Yeah.
But it would be that adopters or people who were looking to adopt would approach their local authority. So if you were based in Haringey or Hackney, you would just approach, you know, the adoption team within that local authority. But now that's changed a few years ago.
Yeah. So it was a government initiative, and I think it was about 2018-19, the whole idea of the regionalisation of adoption agencies. And the whole idea was that, or the concept that came from, it was regarded as a bit of a postcode lottery, right? What kind of adoption service that you were given. So therefore, that somebody in Haringey and somebody in Hammersmith was getting two different types of service from a different, from their local authority. And the other thing was, so the idea was to sort of harmonise and make things put more continuity within the original adoption agency would do that, but there'd also be that economy of scale, right? So if you think about London, there was 32 boroughs, so there's 32 different adoption teams.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? And now we've got 4 different regional adoption agencies adopting London, East, North, South and West. So you can see that.
And Quorum as well, kind of a certain area as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's Quorum, but so you can see how that whole idea of, you know, it's almost like that every local authority has its own little corner shop of adoption, and now we've got these out of town superstores that are called regionalisation. So therefore, that it would make it, the whole idea was to make it easier for regional adoption agencies to recruit, right? So they recruit adopters just like we do.
Yeah.
They will family find, and I think that's a crucial difference between a regional adoption agency and a voluntary adoption agency, and they will provide support services. So they will be the conduit for support services for children and making applications to the adoption support fund.
Okay.
So that was the whole reason or the rationale behind regional adoption agencies.
And just to point out that the regions obviously are still covering specific geographical areas, and those geographical areas are still underpinned by certain local authorities, by certain councils. So although there is that separation and that distinctiveness between your local council and your local regional adoption agency, your local regional adoption agency still has very strong and very specific links to the councils within its borders.
Yeah, because for every local authority had to sign up to a type of regionalised adoption agency that was mandatory by the government. So my experience was Adoption London East, whereas you had Tower Hamlets, Newham, Havering, I think, and but then Bolton Forest and Redbridge were with Coram, so they had that choice, right? So that's what they had, and essentially they fund them. But that's where they get their adoption services from, regional adoption agency. So therefore they've got to fund that. So, and a lot of social workers that were in adoption teams actually transferred over into the regional adoption agency that local authority was now a partner with.
I do a lot of initial inquiries with prospective adopters, but often the question is, what are the differences, which is what we've sort of touched on, but also who can I approach? So previously you just go to your local authority, your borough, but you can approach any, if you're a prospective adopter, you can go to any voluntary agency and any region. If even if you're based in East London, you could approach Adopt London West. Is that right?
In the past you could as well.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because sometimes it's best for a local authority, you just use Haringey, so we stick with Haringey, right? But if you approach Haringey, and just say, for argument's sake, you lived in Haringey, you worked in Haringey, but in actual fact, you lived in Barnet, right? In actual fact, it's easier for me to get to our offices, I know the area, blah, 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 whatever. And therefore, is that when you adopt a child that maybe came from Haringey, it's outside the geographical area, so the risk of bumping into the birth family and things like that is taken away or minimised. So it would be, a lot of boroughs would take people from outside their area just because it meant that child would have a new family outside the borough in which they came from.
But ultimately, all of the children, whether they are in the care of whatever region, all are on the central database of Linkmaker. So really, no matter what agency, what RAA or VAA you go to, you still are able to search that central database as a prospective adopter and express interest in all of the children.
But I think the crucial part is that a child from the regional adoption agency that has a plan of adoption will be working with that local authority throughout. So when a child has got the likelihood the plan is adoption, is that local authority should be talking to the partners in their regional adoption agency and starting to make informal soundings about what potential families are out there.
Yeah.
And they will look within their own pool of adopters. Right? And that's good practice in a lot of ways because there's continuity, right? And there's an understanding and things like that. It's also cost effective for that local authority because they're recruiting and they're using their own adopters. So that's the crucial part of our regional adoption agency. At that point, it's kept, I suppose, in-house. Do you know what I mean? Is that you're looking at what you've got. So therefore, they would not engage with a voluntary adoption agency until they've carried out that scoping exercise of their own in-house adopters.
Okay. So, and if you were to come to a VAA like ourselves, a voluntary agency, what are the differences? What can you expect? Obviously, we can only really speak to us as an agency because we know our practices and our processes and how we work, but what is the difference in service that we provide or VAAs generally provide?
I think it's a more bespoke type of service, wouldn't you say, Jeff?
Yeah, I would. I think the sort of first or most crucial difference that always comes to mind for me, again, is that sort of localist element you were speaking of a region working with its own constituent sort of local authorities and thinking about children that are in their care at that time. Whereas for, again, certainly ourselves, my understanding is all voluntary adoption agencies from the beginning and sort of entering post-approval into family finding, it is a case of not just looking locally but countrywide from the very beginning, and sort of being quite open to sort of children who may be living at that moment in time very far away from where those prospective adopters do live. I think absolutely agree again that the sort of other element is from voluntary adoption agency to voluntary adoption agency versus the regions is, it's a sort of very different assessment process quite often, certainly for ourselves versus what we have seen from other types of agencies. And being usually a sort of smaller outfit than a whole region, being able to be sort of more responsive to any particular individual or sort of couple's needs, and to sort of really craft an assessment with them, work collaboratively in a way that wouldn't necessarily always be possible in a larger organisation.
That's not a criticism of anything, it's a reflection, you know, and I think, go back to my analogy about the cornered shop against the superstore, the fact is it's true, do you know what I mean? It's the fact is that you still get the same service, right, but it's just delivered in a different way, and where because a voluntary adoption agency is invariably smaller because regionalised adoption agency, it sounds big and it is big, and outside of London that might cover several sort of counties in big geographical areas, so this just goes part and parcel, I think, with that, is that you get that smaller service, but the reality is that the children that come on Linkmaker, which is a voluntary adoption agency's platform for children, has been is smaller than the amount of children that a regional adoption agency would have, because they're looking at their adopters first and foremost, and then only then would they put their children on Linkmaker.
But they would, if you were to go to a region, you'd be looking at that pool of children in that region first. And then if you were to go to a VAA, like Jeff said, you would be looking at the pool of children that covers the whole of England, and Scotland and Wales, actually, as well. So it's just a different... But in the end, you're still looking at... You're going to end up looking at both. Yeah. But just to kind of clarify for people...
But I think that if you were an approved adopter with a regionalised agent, a region, is that you would still have access to Linkmaker.
Yeah.
I still think you would have that as well. Is that you have that the likelihood of that opportunity of a child that's coming through in your agency, is that someone saying, is that you might get the potential for that expression of interest discussed with you. Right? And that's the real difference, is that you're going to have a greater amount of children that you have the potential to be matched with.
And I think one of the sort of differences we sort of haven't voiced yet is, because of everything that we have said, because of a region looking to its constituent sort of councils first, will often mean the voluntary adoption agencies, by the time sort of children perhaps haven't found an appropriate, suitable match sort of within a region's own pool of adopters, and sort of a profile is created for them on Linkmaker, the trend is such that those children will likely be that little bit older, and younger children will have found placements from within the region. And for those people who are sort of thinking, okay, well, if it's the same service in both places, how do I sort of help narrow down where I might choose? For some people who have a particular age in mind of child that they wish to adopt, that might help steer their thinking if they know, for argument's sake, for certain that they would want their adopted child to be 2 or younger, or if they are in fact actually open to adopting a slightly older child, then certainly they might wish to look at voluntary adoption agencies and where they are more likely to have a child placed with them who is that bit older.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that for whatever reason, younger children seem more desirable, and there's more people interested in them, so the likelihood of those children being matched within an RAA is higher, right? I think that's just the reality, you know. But and that's, we're using that for almost a statistical point of view, because every child has unique needs and things like that. And so it's, but that, yes, and statistically you're correct.
But as I think it's also just important that you've kind of touched on it as well, we all essentially do the same thing, and the same goal is to provide consistency for a child as much as possible, the least amount of moves, and permanency for a child. And, you know, the matching process is done in a very thoughtful way, and that child is matched with adopters who can best meet their needs. So for adopters, it's about, you know, looking at, okay, yeah, who we want to go to, what type of service. Ultimately, the end goal is the same. But it's also about what they can offer a child, and, you know, not to feel that you're going to miss out if you go either way, that you're still going to be, if you have something to offer a child, either service, region, voluntary agency, you will still be able to offer a child a match with a child who, where you can meet their needs.
Yeah, you're right. And you can only go with one agency, yeah. Right? That's bottom line. And, but I think that for any adopter is to think about who do they feel most comfortable with, right? Who do they feel that they can share, because a lot of information about themselves, let themselves go. It's very intrusive. Mm-hmm. Some people find it really intrusive. They find it really difficult. And I think that I would suggest that for anybody, it's who they feel most comfortable with, who they feel that they can invest in, because this is a lifelong process that we've been through. You know, we could be like, and they need to know that they feel secure and safe, and they can trust the people that they work with. And I think that that's important, because at the end of the day, is that a lot of things will be done in partnership, but also to look at a child and to who's matched, and actually look at the different needs of that child and have that those honest conversations about are they able to meet the needs of that child. So I think that that's equally as important as anything.
Okay, well, thank you so much again. That was really, I think, really helpful for anyone who's kind of debating. What we're really saying is shop around, to go back to your analogy previously. And if anyone, you know, you do have any questions, we do provide sort of Q&A signposting service. You can email us, contact@familyfutures.com, if you have any questions, whether that's adoption in general, and the processes that come with adopting, or that is wanting to know more about us and our service. So you can reach out and contact if you have any more questions or suggestions for other pods that would be helpful. If you enjoyed this episode of the Family Futures podcast, why not subscribe or leave us a review? Want to know more about Family Futures? Visit our website, www.familyfutures.co.uk. Thanks for listening.